All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Hightown. It is an honor to have you here worshiping God today. I want to say hello to our church campuses. It's great to have you with us, joining us at other locations, our church family who are watching live online or through the app, and of course, the correctional facilities all across the state. Come on, church, let's put our hands together and welcome each other today to church. Go ahead and grab something to take notes with if you haven't already. Every time we open the Word of God, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And man, I think it's so important to jot those things down so that you have a record of them and can go back and study them throughout the week. And I'm just so thankful to the Lord for the spiritual journey that each and every one of us are on and how He continually helps every one of us take steps as we follow Him. Before we jump into the message today, a couple things I want you to know. First of all, today is a standalone, and next week it'll be a standalone as well. That just means they're not in a series or connected to anything. And next weekend is going to be Vision Weekend, so we're going to be talking about the vision of the church, what we're trying to accomplish, and how we are doing all of that. And then we're going to talk about all of our outreach projects we have from now to the end of the year and just help you kind of get a clear picture of what church life will look like through December. And so statistics say that about half of our church comes every weekend. And so that means next weekend will be your weekend off. So come back next weekend. And it'll be a week that probably we'll fit somehow. I don't know, but it'll be great. And then you'll be up to speed on everything that is happening here at the church, all right? Last thing I want to say is this Tuesday is an election day. And I believe that it is our responsibility as Christians to be educated and to participate. It is up to us to vote our conscience, vote the Bible. And listen, I know that Christians love to complain about the condition of culture, but you can't complain about what you don't participate in. And too many believers are on the sidelines just in general in life. We need to get off the sidelines and participate in the public forum. Now, I've made it clear, I don't think government can save anybody. And I'm not hoping that Washington can bring revival because they can't. Laws don't change people. Jesus changes people. And we're praying for revival through the body of Christ. Because Jesus isn't returning for America. He's returning for the body of Christ. He's returning for the church. Amen, everybody? And that's our lane. I want to stay in my lane and do my job to pastor you spiritually. But I also believe as Christians, we have a responsibility to participate in the public forum. And there's a lot of significant elections from school boards to different positions in government. We got a lot of wonderful believers who are called of God to be in government, who are on the ballot, maybe even currently in office, and they love Jesus, and they're trying to help. And it doesn't hurt us to have Christians in government. Amen, everybody? That's a good thing. And so, let's all participate. And don't just vote one ticket. Go and research the people that are there and vote the Bible. Vote your values. Vote what Jesus said life ought to look like. And then whoever takes office, we'll pray for them and support them and honor them the best way we possibly can because that's our responsibility as Christians. Amen, everybody? All right. I'm going to talk to you today about this concept. This last Tuesday was the trade deadline for the NFL. And I'm not like a fantasy football guy. I don't get into all the details. In fact, it was kind of intriguing to me. I heard it thrown around a little bit and how it's going to be one of the craziest days. And apparently it was the craziest trade deadline day in the history of the league. So I went and looked up some of the trades. Didn't know a single player that got traded. I'm like, I'm not even a fan. I don't even know what's going on. But it got me thinking about this thought of different trades that happen in life. And I've actually been meditating on this verse that's just kind of been rolling around in my head in Isaiah 61 about some trades that God wants to make in our lives. So we're going to go there in just a minute. But I thought it's interesting, this whole concept of trades. I wonder what the worst trade in the history of sports ever was. And I found it, but many of you may not realize which one it is because it's in a sport that nobody watches anymore, baseball. I know there might be some baseball fans, but let's be honest, the sport is boring. It's just boring. I think there was a tournament that just ended or something. But I didn't watch a single game because it's boring. Anyway, back in the day, Babe Ruth was traded from the Red Sox to the Yankees. Some of you know this story. For $100,000. And a $300,000 loan so that the Red Sox owner who also loved musicals could put on the musical No, No, Nanette. Right? Nobody's ever heard of it. Obviously, totally tanked. A total waste of money and talent, Babe Ruth, for $100,000. And they went on for 84 years to not win a championship because of the curse of the Bambino, because it was the dumbest decision anybody in sports had ever made. And we can mock them all we want to, but the truth is, the devil has tricked a lot of us into making some pretty toxic trades in life for the things that God has for us. And today I want to show you what the devil's trying to do to you and the trades that God wants you to make so that you can actually have the life that he has called you to live. We're going to start in Isaiah 61, verse 1. You're going to see God's plan for humanity here, and then we'll back up to verse 3 and focus on that. This is a prophecy about Jesus. He actually reads this passage in Luke. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor." That's that salvation moment that we get to preach the good news, the gospel. You don't have to die in your sin. Jesus has paid the price. But he doesn't just save us. He also wants to set us free. He heals the brokenhearted, brings liberty to the captives, open people who are in prison, and then proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to console those who mourn in Zion. And then he sets them back to their original intent. I want to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. In other words, you get so healthy that you become a pillar in the community, that you become a source of life to everything around you, that God himself may be glorified. And then we get to be engaged to rebuild the old ruins in other people's lives, that we would raise up former desolations, that we would repair other people's ruined cities, and that we would make a mark for generations. That's God's plan for us. It's amazing, this spiritual journey found in nearly every book of the Old and the New Testament. What I want to do today, we'll spend a lot of time next weekend talking about that journey and how we can help you take those steps. But today I want to focus on verse 3 and the trades he talks about making. I want to give them beauty for ashes, he says, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There are several things here that the Holy Spirit actually showed me that each one builds on the other, and the devil's trying to tempt us or to lure us to take this path so that we find ourselves in a place of darkness. And it begins, jot it down if you're taking notes, with the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness. I don't know if you've noticed, but the last couple of years in our culture has been pretty heavy. And not just in America, worldwide. There's just a heaviness to the world in the public forum. There's a darkness that's kind of settling in around our culture and world. And it's a little bit difficult. And sure, there are circumstances that go along with it. Maybe you're under a dark cloud today because you're walking through some broken relationships, or you're suffering in your finances, or you found out there's a sickness in your body. You're really trying to navigate some things in your career, trying to figure out what's going to happen in the election cycle, what's going to happen with your kids at school, what's going to happen for your job, or maybe your investments, your savings. Like, there's some circumstantial things that are happening for sure that add weight to life. But at the same time, what I want you to see is that it's a spiritual thing. The heaviness of our culture is more than circumstantial, it's spiritual. There's a spirit of heaviness. And so as people who follow the Lord, and the Bible says people of the Spirit, we have to have eyes to see things beyond just circumstances. We have to be able to think deeper, see deeper. And the truth is, there is a spiritual attack. There is a darkness over our culture that is, it's beyond just like the car broke down and the cat died and the furnace broke and the kids got in trouble at school and, you know, the things of everyday life. Those are real and they're heavy, but then there's a spiritual weight on top of that. Jesus said it this way, Luke chapter 21, be careful. Everybody say that with me. Be careful. You got to be careful. Why? Because your hearts will be weighed down. There's a weight that can come with dissipation, drunkenness, and anxiety. So if you do those in reverse order, it begins with this anxiety, these emotions of fear and trepidation over what's happening in the world and what's happening around me and the cares of this life. Am I going to be accepted, or are we going to make enough money, and what's that going to look like, and what's going to happen with my kids? And all of a sudden, we get totally caught up in the things of life. That's drunkenness, where we're intoxicated with the things of this world and the concerns of everyday life. And then there's this thing called dissipation, that the Greek word for that literally means hangover. Now, I know all of you are super spiritual, have never sinned, and there's not a person here that understands or knows what a hangover feels like. So I'll tell you from the research I've done that it's like this, you know, the painful headache, that life is difficult and everything, you're kind of sensitive to everything with very little motivation. Jesus is saying, you're going to get in this place that you'll get so wrapped up in life that it'll over consume you to the point that you're just kind of numb to things and in pain all the time. And then what happens is that spirit of heaviness makes us weary. And we just don't want to do what we used to do. And man, it just seems so prophetic that this is kind of like where we're living right now. It's hard to get out of your sweatpants. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, everybody is just, I don't want to go. I don't want to do. I don't want to see. It's just like, ugh, it's hard. Normal decisions seem heavy and life feels difficult. It's a spiritual thing that's happening. But as we give into it, all of a sudden, we start missing out on things. You start missing out on church, start missing out on friends, start skipping circles, stop being around and fulfilling your calling and taking a spiritual journey. And then all of a sudden you're missing things at work and you're missing things in your kids' lives because life is a little bit too heavy. And then we have the realization of, I can never get those moments back. I don't know what I'm going to do now because maybe my friendships will never be right, or maybe that opportunity will never come around, or maybe that ministry will never happen. And then we enter kind of this second stage that the Bible calls mourning. That word mourning in the Hebrew means grief over the past. It's specifically about looking behind us. You see, the spirit of heaviness will begin to steal from us, and then mourning sets in. And I'm not talking about like you've lost a loved one and it's appropriate to mourn. I'm talking about you've lost opportunities or real things have happened to you, but you have allowed your life to become shipwrecked by them and you're not moving forward. Jeremiah said it this way in Lamentations chapter 3. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. These are the things that are consuming my thoughts, and because of it, I'm depressed. My soul is downcast within me. Well, there are several things that he talks about that can hang on to us. Affliction represents the pressures of everyday life. It's the problems that we face. You know, we can't control what happens to us in life. And some of us get a pretty bad shake and you miss opportunities, or maybe you got cut from a team that you thought you were supposed to be a part of, or you missed out on a promotion, or something passed you by. Maybe you just had a bad shake of it financially or in your career. And so we have these feelings of like, I've had so many problems in life and they have robbed from me. And then instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to work through those problems and help us see the other opportunities on the other side, we become shipwrecked by them. And we just look at the past wondering, what would my life look like if that hadn't happened? And then to pile on top of that, we have our wandering, Jeremiah says. And wandering is when you and I make mistakes. We all have wandered from God's plan and God's path. And we hurt ourselves. We hurt other people. And then the devil tells us, look at how bad you are. And you'll never be free. You'll never be a good person. Nobody could love you. God can't use you. So then we have all of this guilt and shame and grief around the mistakes that we've made. And oftentimes it can trap us, it consumes us. It's the only thing we seem to think about. Every spare moment we have in life, our thoughts are drawn there. Or maybe it's the bitterness and the gall. That represents painful relationships, problems that have happened in friendships. And chances are every single person here today has had a friend or a loved one who has betrayed you or hurt you. The devil wants to make sure that you're wounded by people, especially people in authority, people you should trust, because he's trying to damage your capacity for love and for relationship and for trust. He wants to keep you from knowing your heavenly Father. So if you have a messed up relationship with your earthly father, it's the easiest way he can keep you from ever opening your heart to God. And so we get attacked in our youth, sometimes physically, sometimes sexually, sometimes emotionally, sometimes spiritually. People take advantage of us. And then we begin to tell ourselves, no one is able to be trusted. And I'm now marked or defined by these wounds of my past and these horrible relationships, these things that have happened to me. And because of it, we're meditating on it, we get depressed. You see, you'll miss the potential of today if you're consumed by the pain of yesterday, but that's where the devil wants you to live, through the rear view mirror of your life. Look at all of what I've been through. Look at the pain that I have experienced. Look at the trauma of my life, and I'm just consumed by it. So there's this heaviness that begins to steal from us, and then this grief, this mourning that makes us look into the rearview mirror, and then we start to hear the voice and buy into the lie, it's too late. It'll never happen for us. I've already missed these moments with my kids. I can't be a good parent. I've already missed the opportunity at church. I could never really serve. I've already missed the chance, the opening, the window in my career. And now I'm too old, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. And we tell ourselves, now there's no purpose, there's no meaning. We get to this place that the Bible calls ashes, which literally translated means worthlessness. And the devil wants to convince you today that you're worthless, that there's no value to your life, that it doesn't matter that you're here, doesn't matter if you're gone. Nobody will notice and nobody cares. In fact, the most toxic lie he tries to sell us is life would be better if you were gone. Because he knows he can get this to draw back from social life. He can keep us from engaging in our purpose. He can keep us from relationships with the people around us, keep us from attending church and being a part of circles and being a part of the spiritual journey, and eventually maybe even get us to this deep, dark place that we're contemplating taking our own lives. And I just want you to know, all of that is a lie from the pit of hell. God loves you more than you could possibly imagine. He knew you before you were born. He has had a plan for you from day one to this day. And I'm just telling you, your best days are ahead, but we have got to make a trade. We have got to change our perspective. We got to let the Holy Spirit do a work on the inside of our lives. He's going to take beauty and give it to us for the ashes. He wants to make a trade, the oil of joy for the mourning. He wants to give us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We are going to have to make some trades in life if we are going to live the life God's called us to live and escape the darkness that's surrounding our culture. We're going to work on those in reverse order because I believe they too build. And I'm going to give them to you as action steps. If you're going to get out from underneath that dark cloud, the first thing, number one, is that you're going to have to choose to praise. Because it's called the garment of praise. You know what breaks heaviness off of your life? Is the garment of praise. But a garment is something that you don't just have. A garment is something that you choose. Now, I just want to take a moment to celebrate that we have 100% participation here at church today. We all chose to clothe ourselves with something before we came to God's house. Praise the Lord, right? This is not a nudist colony. You can dance in your birthday suit at your house, but not this house, okay? Praise the Lord for that. But you had to make a choice. And for some of you, that choice was way harder than others, right? Some of you really stressed a long time. You did a good job. You look great, okay? We all love it. It's amazing. But we have to choose to put on a garment, just like we have to choose to praise. And there's a lot of reasons why we don't choose to praise, because praise is actually a sacrifice. The Bible says we bring the sacrifice of praise. Why? Because the devil tries to convince you that doesn't really work. That's not for you. You'll look foolish. Everybody's going to stare at you. That's not something that you should be a part of. But the Bible says that it is the key to unlocking the spirit of heaviness off of your life. It's the garment of praise. And it's supposed to be done in environments that can make you feel foolish. So you have to actually make the sacrifice. Because you can worship at home, that's fine. But when you study biblical worship, when you study biblical praise, it was meant to be done in the assembly. It says in Psalm 35, I will give you thanks in the great assembly and I will praise you among many people. There are seven different words for praise in the Hebrew. We don't have time to give you a whole lesson on all those things, but it's fascinating to see all the different words that are used for praise and what they are intended to do and the journey that they are intended to take you on. In Psalm 100 verse 4, it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name." There are four different words for praise in that one verse alone. Two of them mean to lift up your hands. So lifting up your hands in church is not a radical form of praise. That's just a baseline, God demands it, what he wants kind of praise. That's just what it is. One of these words is to kneel down. You're thinking, man, people who kneel, they're the crazy ones. Those are the freaks that have problems and issues. They're kneeling in church. No, they're just actually exercising biblical praise. To kneel before him, to lift up holy hands, to shout with a loud voice. These are the words of praise, which is sad that we fully understand it in the football field and fully neglect it in God's house. Just imagine for a moment how much sports would stink if the Colts could score a touchdown. I mean, did score a touchdown. And our response was, "That's pretty good. This is just how I celebrate touchdowns. I don't care about that big screen saying, make noise. Don't want to." Yeah, coach makes a good point there. "I don't know what you want from me. I'm here." "We don't want anything from you, but we do want something for you. And if you don't get out of right over left during worship, you ain't getting anything out of it. Because it's not about you, it's about him. He's the one who is worthy of our praise. And he demands that we take a step so that things unlock in our lives. But if you want to stay all wrapped up in bondage and under the dark cloud, then just don't sing and stay here right over left. The victory is ours. It's already been won, but you're going to have to put on the garment of praise to break off the spirit of heaviness off of your life." The word garment of praise, that word praise, literally in this passage, the one that we're studying, is the Hebrew word tehillah, not tequila, for all you lushes in the house who are like, "I knew I liked this church." There is a verse that says, "Your tehillah shall be in my mouth, and I will praise you all day long." You're like, "That's how they do that." No, no, it's misreading scripture. It just means to be exuberantly loud, to praise the Lord. That's when we get rowdy up in church, like we did in song 3 today, you are breaking things off of your life. It is a spiritual response. Heaviness is a spiritual problem. There is a spiritual solution. Look at Psalm 3. It says, "You, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head." That's what should happen at church. You should have your head lifted. The devil wants to beat you down and beat you up. Jesus says, "No, no, no. Let me make it light. Let me breathe life into you. I am for you and not against you. Your best days are ahead. If you'll just worship the King, you'll be free of the fear, the anxiety, and depression." Because nobody at a football field in the middle of a touchdown had been jumping up and down thinking, "I'm really depressed right now." You'll lose yourself in that moment. And that's what worship is supposed to be. And the reason why we enjoy those environments is because of praise. It's just praise for the wrong thing. Now, I'm not saying we can't celebrate at football fields. I'm just saying if we celebrate football better than we celebrate Jesus, shame on us. The rocks will cry out in our place because he is worthy of all praise. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And there's nothing else in this life that's anywhere close to him. So we need to praise. When you praise, a miracle takes place. He gives you the oil of joy for mourning. Now, this is a revelation to me. I hope you catch this, and I hope I do a good job explaining it. Because mourning in the Greek, that Greek word for mourning, literally is all about the past. It's thinking about the past. It's mourning grief over the past. But the oil of joy is completely opposite of that, because oil represents the anointing. And the anointing is just simply God's divine empowerment for you to do something. So oil represents the Holy Spirit giving you the power to do something that you didn't normally on your own have the ability to do. So what is the anointing in this situation for? It's an anointing for joy. That doesn't mean that you just go around giggling all the time, because joy isn't just happiness. Happiness is fine and it's wonderful when God blesses you with good things. You can be happy, but you also don't have to be depressed when things don't go your way, because joy is actually a change of perspective. Joy thinks about life a little bit deeper. Joy says, this moment does not define my life, and this setback is a setup for what God is going to do, because my Bible says, all things will work together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So when you're in a bad season, you don't get depressed. You just say, well, God's not done, because it's not good. When it's good, that means God's done, because that's what my Bible says, because it says all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. There is an anointing that you will get to reframe the perspective of your life, the oil for joy. Instead of ruminating and living in your past, you can shift your perspective by the power of the Holy Spirit and see life through a brand new lens. I'm definitely preaching better than you're responding, but it's all right. The sleepiest service of the entire year. Y'all got an extra hour and still came to the 11:30. It's all good. It's okay. Lamentations, Jeremiah. Remember, he was depressed before, but he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to shift my perspective. Yet this I call to mind, and it changes my life. Just how I view my circumstance. He says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, because his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He's preaching himself happy, going, look, I know that things are a mess, and I know I might be in a little bit of trouble right now, but like Paul said, these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So I will not fix my eyes on what I can see. I will fix them what I can't see, because this thing, that's temporary. Eternity, man, that's where I'm going to live with Jesus forever. And that's what really matters. That's what has my focus. When you live with that perspective, there's nothing that can keep you down. And the Bible says God wants to give you an anointing to do that. The oil of joy, the Holy Spirit's empowerment to reframe every circumstance that you walk through. You could say, man, I don't know what God's up to, but this ain't too good, so I know it's going to get better. Praise the Lord, he's going to turn it around. And you do that long enough. You put on the garment of praise and walk in the anointing that gives you joy. And guess what you'll get? You'll get beauty. Out of something broken, out of the place the devil thought, man, we had definitely abused them enough and tore them down enough and destroyed their confidence enough. They would never amount to anything. Out of the ashes, your life will rise to something far more beautiful than you could ever imagine. You know why? Because there is a purpose and a plan for your life. God never intended for you to be a slave to sin. God never intended for you to be an addict. God never said he would leave you or forsake you. He never said that you would stay broken. He said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You are a son and daughter of the King. You are robed in righteousness. You are clothed in glory. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He always causes you to triumph. He surrounds you with his angels to protect you. No weapon formed against you in this life will prosper. You will see God's blessing come to pass in your life. That's what God's word says. God will turn all that pain for the good. But you and I, we have got to make the trade. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would help us this week to live by the power of the Spirit, reframing every moment that we are in. That we would let him move and work to bring about his purpose for us as we make the choice to put on the garment of praise. But first, I wonder how many are here and you're somewhere in that progression we talked about. Maybe the dark cloud is just ruining your life and you feel numb to the world and you need the life of Christ. Maybe others of you are in the place of grief, you're just looking back, you're mourning, stuck thinking about what could have been, what should have been. Maybe others of you, the devil has tried to convince that you're worthless. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Bible says it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, that Jesus loves you and that he's been searching for you because he wants to make you brand new. Maybe today is your fresh start. Maybe today, for the first time, you'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You'll find your purpose. Realize that all the pain that you have walked through is not for nothing, that God will turn it for the good. We can do it in a simple prayer. I'm not going to make you stand. I'm not going to have you come down front. I'm not trying to embarrass you at all. I just want to connect you with Jesus. We can pray with you where you're at. With no one looking around at all of our campuses, if that's you. Before we pray, it's just a point of connection. Would you lift your hand up high and say, Dave, that's me. I need a fresh start today. Come on right now. Just put your hand up high for a moment. Yeah. That's amazing. All across the room, I'm so proud of you. You can put your hands down if you haven't already. I'll give you the words. You can pray them quietly in your heart. You just need to mean it. Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me today. I repent of all my sin. I surrender to you, and I make you my Lord. Make me brand new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to live out my purpose. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you for every one of us here today. We do live in difficult times, but we thank you that we have the power of the Holy Spirit. This week, help us to continually put on the garment of praise. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that brings us joy, fresh perspective, God. And help us to live out our purpose. We thank you that you make broken things beautiful. You're better to us than we deserve. And we love you today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said amen. Amen. Come on, church, would you celebrate with those who prayed that prayer today? Thank you so much for joining iTown Church online today. We would love to have the chance to meet you and your family in person at one of our campuses. Or, of course, you can join us streaming live online this weekend. Now, for more details about times and locations and even some of our streaming options, you can go to itownchurch.com. I sure hope to see you soon. God bless.